All right, we're going to continue on here with the fruit of the Spirit, and it's we spent a lot of time on love because it's the main fruit and how important it is to our life and being in Christ and staying free and all of those things. It's just an experiencing God in our hearts is all through love, and that's how we grow. Today we're going to talk about the fruit of joy, and the definition of joy is cheerfulness, delight, gladness, and it is a fruit of the Spirit. Maybe have our diagram up, Ted, if you could. As love, it has its source in God and is of spiritual origin. This is the joy of the Lord. It is beyond any joy that we can build up or have ever experienced or can work up, whatever. There's a superficial, fleeting joy of emotions which has its source in circumstances and feelings or funny jokes. Kathy got invited to a church service the other day. You should come and hear our pastor. She's so funny. But the joy of the Spirit is based on eternal values. Eternal values. It's a whole different kind of joy that affects our heart in a different way. And relationship with God. It is a deeper, stronger joy that stands up under trials and adversity and becomes an inner strength for us. I could stand up here and tell you a bunch of jokes and you could be laughing and go home laughing. But as soon as trials comes, that laugh is gone, isn't it? There's no strength in that joy to face any trials because you soon forget about it. Because it's just a joy of the emotions. But this is a supernatural joy that gives us determination to stick with it no matter what. And it's not easily discouraged. In the book of Nehemiah, during the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the people were told that the joy of the Lord was their strength. The joy of the Lord was their strength. So the fruit of joy is based 100% on eternal considerations and values. And basically, it's this. You had your first love, the joy of being saved and how free and happy you were. Before I got saved, one of the reasons I came to the Lord was I thought, well, when I finish farming, what am I going to do? Sit around, drink beer, and then what? Well, then I'm going to die. And where do I go when I die? I don't know. So I said, Lord, if you're really there, come into my heart. But now I know where I'm going. I know there's rewards. I know that I'm living this life because I love Jesus. And it has changed my life. It has changed my family. It has changed everything. If I hadn't got saved, we'd still be farming. We wouldn't have moved here. Ted wouldn't have went to Bulgaria. He wouldn't have been married to Bobby. You see how it's changed our lives? And I don't know if Kathy would still be putting up with me. But see, and the fact that when we die, we know where we're going. And so we know the only thing to live for is Jesus. He is the prize. And so there's a deep joy in that no matter what kind of a trial I go through, I stick with Jesus because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Doesn't mean I feel happy, but it's an inner joy in our hearts. And you all have it because you're all still here. You're all still serving Jesus. You've been through a lot. But it's the joy of the Lord that's your strength. It keeps you going during hard times because you know what's coming. When we're in trials, count it joy when you fall into different trials and temptations. Why? Because you have to persevere through that trial. It's not a happy experience. And you have to persevere. But the outcome of the trial, perseverance must finish its work so that you can be blessed. You know the blessing is coming because you've gotten to know Jesus better through that trial. You've persevered. It's changed your character. So for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. He knew he was going to be raised from the dead. He knew he was going to be in heaven. He knew what his sacrifice was going to do for us, that it would bring many of us to his Father. And he's not ashamed to call us his brothers. And so for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, but the cross was not a happy experience. He had to be strengthened by angels. So anything that, any trial that we're in, it's not a joyous occasion to our emotions. But the joy of the Lord, knowing the outcome of that trial, if we go through it in faith, will make us stronger. And that's the joy of the Lord that gives the strength to persevere. Kat and I have had to persevere so many times through our emotions where we, you know, sometimes wanted to shoot people and tell God they died. I'm just kidding. But a lot of times it was very upsetting because just how the devil would twist and turn everything and the way they were perceiving things because of the problems they had in their hearts, it was really a zoo. And it was painful. We had to keep loving them and praying for them, forgiving them, and keep. But we had a call in our lives, and the joy of the Lord was our strength, and we just wouldn't quit serving God. Yet there's pastors leaving the ministry by the thousands every week in North America because they can't take any more. And so they have to learn to handle this thing by having the joy of the Lord as their strength. And you have to meditate in the Word and understand all of that. But you guys have experienced that, and you all are experiencing that, but it's what gets you through the trials. If you don't see the big picture and realize that this is in your spirit and that you can get through that trial, your emotions will take over and you'll just give up. A lot of people have done that. I have lots of people that I have met that got saved and got into ministry, were excited about God, got serving God in the ministry, and then the pressure came on so bad that they went back to their drugs, they went back to their alcoholism, they went back to their lust, or they went back to pornography and had to give up the ministry. See, and the joy of the Lord is supposed to be our strength. Whether they had never really been set free, they hadn't been mature enough, they got into ministry too soon, or this is all part of training for ministry. I got the ministry too soon, but God saw me through it by the grace of God, thank goodness. But it's the joy of our eternal considerations and knowing that every Christian goes through these things. But it's God's way, endure hardship as discipline. It's God's way of disciplining us so that we can grow up into Him and be blessed. All right? So the fruit of joy is based 100% on eternal considerations and values. When trials occur in the temporal realm, they do not affect the eternal realm. See, our eternal destiny is guaranteed as long as we go through it right. And so no matter what happens, this too shall pass. And when you look back in your life, you went through a lot of things, but you've grown from it. You've gotten to know the Lord better. But remember, there's more trials coming. And so you're going to grow more. You're going to get to know God better. And so count it all joy. And none of those trials you went through were fun, were they? But you're still here. And the joy of the Lord is what got you through it. It doesn't mean you were happy and full of life when you went through the trial, because if you're happy, it's not a trial, is it? But deep in your heart, in your spirit, the joy was there to keep you going. It was your strength, even though you didn't feel it in your emotions. It is the fruit of your born-again spirit. And it helps you to persevere through anything. So are we governed by eternal values or are we governed by this world? So people may abuse you, but remember, God chose you in spite of their opinion. Jesus said that the world will hate you because of me. If all men speak well of you, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so they spoke of the false prophets. So the gospel brings opposition. But we can have the joy that we are being obedient to the Father and sharing the gospel, but share it in a proper manner. And then that's what keeps us going and it makes us stronger. All right, let's look at Hebrews 12, 2-7. All these fruit of the Spirit are supernatural. They are in your born-again spirit. We have to work them into our heart. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Let's start verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. With perseverance. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Scorning its shame. Shame, you're not bothering me any because I know what this is going to accomplish for my Father. And the joy that's going to come out of this to his heart, my heart, and the heart of millions of people in the world. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And there's degrees of rewards when we get to heaven because we will be judged for the things we did and the motivations of our heart out of the grace and relationship that we have with Jesus. And so Jesus is the prize. And the joy, isn't that what he says? Well done, good and faithful servant. Entered into the joy of the kingdom or the joy of the Lord. Isn't that what he's going to quote to us if we're faithful? In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as son. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. People don't like discipline either. But God is disciplining us for our good, so that we will become like Jesus, because he loves us. You ever have to discipline your kids and you thought, this hurts me more than it does you, son? And he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. The joy of being a true son. See, everybody says, oh, I'm a child of God. I'm born again by the will of the Father, which is true. But if we don't go through the discipline and in our hearts, in our character, become like his son, then we are illegitimate children. Wow. The Bible's pretty definite about things, isn't it? Illegitimate children. So we have to live this life, but it's the joy of the Lord that will be our strength. It's amazing, even in 1 John, it says if you say you love God but hate your brother, you're a liar. Wow, I mean, that's really blunt, isn't it? And if we don't receive hardship as discipline and go through it properly and with the joy of the Lord persevere through it because we know we're going to be changed through that and we'll know God better and we'll be more pleasing to him and we'll be more like Jesus than we're illegitimate children because Jesus learned obedience by what he suffered. And so if Jesus as a man had to learn obedience by what he suffered, and surely we do. Verse 10, our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. And as we become disciplined, then the fruit of self-control is growing in our hearts. And again, all like one fruit grows out of another, but there's a process. But if we share in his holiness, that means our hearts are being purified and we are becoming free from ourselves. Remember, we have to die so that his life may live in us by faith. And so then this is the same as purifying your heart, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. We were talking about the fear of the Lord. We can't work out our salvation without the fear of the Lord, because we just won't want to in our hearts. And so it's love of God, fear of the Lord. All of these things are so important to understand, and how they cause our heart to stay in a certain circumstance where the Holy Spirit can really work in us and we can cooperate with God. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. This is really the pruning process that God puts us through. I am the vine, you are the branches. I don't like to talk about that because I'm reminded of pruning grapes all winter long. I hated that job. It was so slow. It would take an hour to prune a whole row, and we had hundreds and hundreds of row. We would start, you know, even this time of year, once the leaves are off, and we'd be pruning till spring, and then it was like the next week we were tying up the grapes before they budded. But standing out there in the cold, and it's not like you're moving fast or working, it's like cut, 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 pull, 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 cut, cut, cut. It was a terrible job. But if I didn't do it as a farmer, I wouldn't have a very good crop the next year. And so you prune it back, then you would get bigger bunches of grapes, more grapes. But if you just let everything grow wild, I mean, the grapes would just be small and they wouldn't develop properly and all those things. God prunes us back that we may produce more fruit and have a greater reward. And so you got to see the discipline to cause us to have holiness and purity of heart, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, so that we can bear more fruit and have greater rewards. So it's all good. And it's the joy of the Lord of being in his presence someday and being as close to him as we could be is what keeps us to persevere, because he is the Lord of our life. He is the prize. There's nothing more beautiful than the character of God himself. And that's what he wants us to have. Wow. Can you imagine living in the fullness of God's character? Adam did that. Wow. Before he sinned. It would be just having the full manifestation of the presence of God in you. Your whole body would be instantly healed. Your whole body would be instantly quickened. Your body would never die. Mary Ellen got her knee healed last week. Wasn't that great, Mary Ellen? Wow. Because there's a power of God in her born-again spirit. And she believed God, and that power was released by the Holy Spirit because of faith in her heart, and it went into her body, and her knee was healed, pain left. Wow. You know, it still amazes me, the new birth and God's plan and how he set everything up. And this is the manual of how to live this life and get the most benefit out of it. And trials is one of the things that we have to go through to get the benefit, to retrain our hearts. You had to all train your children, right? Remember that? Remember the terrible twos? We said, oh, that's just the stage they're going through. My sister-in-law says, everything's a stage in their life. Every age is a stage, yeah. But see, we're born again, and we've been trained the world's way in our heart. Now our heart has to be trained in spiritual things, in the kingdom ways, in God's ways, not the world's ways. And so we got to go through all of this, and it's a growing process. But hallelujah, the end result is going to be so fantastic. And as we're growing, we're experiencing more of God, experience more of His joy in our life. Wow. No matter how many times I've taught something, I always meditate on it before I teach, so it stirs up my heart. But my heart just goes berserk when I get into the scriptures, because then the Lord shows me this scripture and that scripture and this thought and that thought. And, whoa, I can't teach all this. I haven't got enough time. Sometimes I just take a few scriptures and teach that but it's the word is so rich and just the way the Lord works in my heart. I don't care who's teaching it. I get excited about the word of God. Like, it's the joy of the Lord. There's just an exuberance that comes in me. And sometimes I'm so wound up, I can't wait to teach. That's enough worship. Let me teach. And they go on and on and on. No, let me teach. Because I'm bursting to get it out. So now you know why it's hard to slow me down when I get going. Anyways, so this is how the joy, which is a supernatural character trait of God, beyond what we can even experience. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Remember I told you before that I meditated on righteousness and got the full revelation? Then I was jumping up and down and throwing the kids up in the air and catching them. I mean, they're only 8 years old. I wouldn't try that with Ted now, but I used to be able to do that. When he was smaller and I was stronger. But the joy I had was just unspeakable, unbelievable, I don't know, it was just wow. But we have had people where we have, I remember in Serbia one time, we were teaching on the heart, and we were taught on forgiveness of the heart and told them to go home, make a list, and have the Holy Spirit help you, bring back your remembrance everyone that ever hurt you. Forgive them all one at a time. As that memory comes back, that hurt comes back. In the middle of that hurt, pray for them until the hurt is gone. Then we have people meet us on the street the next day. And man, they're so excited. There they are. They came running over. We did what you said. And wow, we're so free today. We're so happy today. Remember that, Kath? And they would just come over and tell us how joyful they were and was just exuberance, like they couldn't stop. And we're sort of standing there, oh, wow, that's nice, that's good. But they were so happy they couldn't even express themselves. It's that supernatural joy. It was just God doing His thing and releasing them of all those hurts so that the joy that was in their born-again spirit could come into their heart and heal all those wounds. And I bet you those people never walked in unforgiveness again. Because that joy, wow. And when you experience that, all right, this is what keeps me going. This is my strength, because I'm looking forward to be totally free, to be more like Jesus, and then have this just joy all the time where, you know, you're still going to go through some trials, but you're joyful in ministering to others and talking to others and helping them however you can. You've probably all have led someone to the Lord or prayed for someone, they were healed, or God did something for them, and it brought a joy to your heart, didn't it? Wow, that was great. I mean, Mary Ellen's still smiling today because the Lord healed her knee. And when I mentioned that, her face lights up. Why? Because that joy of, wow, God healed me. I believe God and this happened. And it just lights up. And same when you minister to somebody, you lead somebody to the Lord. It's so exciting. My greatest joy is to see people's lives change when I hear the testimonies of how the heart teaching has affected them and how it's affecting pastors, and then they teach it to the congregations. And Pastor Gaetanet, he had forgiveness programs in his church. Now he's quit the church, and he has a vision for the nation of kingdom unity. It just thrills my heart that, you know, God is doing it all, but I'm thrilled for him. I'm thrilled for Ethiopia. I'm thrilled for what, for the kingdom. I've often said I'm more excited when I see a life change than to see God heal somebody, because changing their life is for eternity. Plus, they get hooked up with God, and they can change other lives, and wow. And so it's Jesus said, my meat is to do the work of him who sent me. This, my meat, my life, what sustains me is to do the work of him who sent me. And when things happen in line with your calling, it's the fulfilling of your calling, and joy just bubbles up inside of you. You just can't help but be happy. And that's what keeps you going, even through the hard times. No, I'm going to stick with this. Sometimes it takes time to change people, but it's that inner strength, that inner joy that keeps you going no matter what. There's times where I've been overseas where I wondered if I was accomplishing anything or not. And then the Lord would put the love of the people on my heart. I said, okay, Lord, I'm sitting there crying. Okay, Lord, I'll stay. I'll come back. No problem. You know, but sometimes you get over there for 3 or 4 weeks. You get lonely and you're by yourself. There's nobody to talk to because not very many people speak English in these villages. And after a while, you wonder, you know, is anything happening here? Even though there's miracles happening and people are learning, but they can't even tell you that they're learning or that they're changing. But many of them will come up and say, oh, that message really ministered to my heart, is really what they're saying. They can't. But then those elders will give you a hug, and they haven't shaved in 3 days, and you get a whisker burn, and say, that's okay, I'm happy for you. Oh, all right, let me just finish here with one other scripture. For the joy set before him, discipline, training that develops self-control, character, or orderliness and efficiency, discipline is not punishment. Discipline is not punishment. You know, we talk about, I said earlier that, just reminded of something here. I said earlier that if we're going to live under grace, we have to have the fear of the Lord, or otherwise the devil will get in there, our hearts will be deceived, and we'll think everything's all right and sear our conscience. I used to, when we first came to Cambridge, I would teach all of these same things. And I would teach about our freedom in Christ and that we're under grace. And then when it was 9:30 or 10 o'clock, whenever it was time to start service, people are yakking, they're still out in the foyer, and I would get on the mic and say, time to come in and start service. I thought we were under grace and not under law. Why are you telling us what to do? You see, they thought that grace was freedom to do whatever you wanted, but see, they were immature. They heard the message, but they only heard the part they wanted to hear, or they interpreted from their perspective instead of really hearing what God was saying. Yes, we have freedom in Christ, but there's also order and discipline and self-control. And when it's time to start the service and praise God, then it's time to come and start the service and praise God. It's not legalism. You should want to come and praise God. You see, their perspective was wrong. Like, I was telling them what to do, and they didn't want to do it. And so I was the bad guy because I thought they were under grace, and now I was telling them what to do. See how everything gets twisted by the devil? And by their own heart, it just was ridiculous. But this is what caused a lot of problem, because they were in churches where they were just allowed to do whatever they did, and nobody ever said anything. All right, Hebrews 12 and 11. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, not an emotional joy in going to the cross in itself, but a joy of the Spirit that lay in store for him beyond the cross. It was rooted and based on eternal values. Chapter 12 and verse 11. We already read that. I'll read it one more time. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on. However, it produced a harvest of righteousness and a peace for those who have been trained by it. Trained by it. We have to, our hearts have to be trained to live in the realm of the Spirit. If we don't train them, we're going to keep living the way we always did. You've all trained yourself to a certain degree. I have too. I can't imagine not serving Jesus, not living for him, not going to church. But our hearts have been trained, but there's still more training to do to become more like Jesus. As Paul said, let us live unto what we have attained and press on for the mark of the high calling. We can never, in this lifetime, become like Jesus. But he is the prize. He is the high calling to be like him. And so we keep on going in this process. But wow, we're more mature all the time. We're enjoying Christ more all the time. So Paul says, let us live unto what we've attained. Let's not go back. Let's not slip back. Keep the discipline that you have gained by being disciplined through trials and temptations and everything. But more will come to develop you even more, to be changed into the image of his Son. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. Consider where you are today compared to when you first met the Lord. Aren't you a lot happier, a lot better off? And isn't that your strength? That you just won't quit serving the Lord and getting more teaching and more understanding, more meditation in the Word, more. You want to do more for people because you know the Lord. See, all of that has come because of what you went through and you have changed. And so when you can see in your own life that change, there's still more to change. You can even have more of that. More of the joy of the Lord, more strength, more perseverance. Keep bearing fruit all the time. Once we quit, you start to go backwards. But I believe as we get mature, it's easier to go through these things because we have stronger joy, we have more endurance, we have more patience. God will keep stretching us, but it wasn't as bad as remember when I first got saved, it seemed like I couldn't do anything right. Well, I hadn't spent any time in the Word yet, and, you know, I had to grow. But it's much, much easier for me to deal with adversity now than it was 35 years ago. I was still a wild man. But I have disciplined my heart to walk in the Spirit, to walk in love, to persevere, to never quit. I had some of these character traits before I was saved when I was farming because I had to get up every morning, except when Kathy gave me a break and let me sleep in. I had to get up every morning and shovel manure, no matter how I felt. See, my feelings had nothing to do with it. It had to be done. And if I was too late getting in the barns, the pigs were going nuts. They were hungry. The sows were screaming and jumping out of their pen. We used to push a cart down the aisle and have feed in there, and we'd take a couple scoops and throw it on a clear spot on the floor where they could eat it. But some of those mothers were mean, man. They'd be up on their hind legs just about jumping out and cast, get down in Jesus' name, and they would. But they were scary, some of them. They were a lot bigger than Kathy was, too. But, you see, every morning it had to be done. Didn't matter if you were sick, how you felt, you had a hangover or not, you had to do it. And see, I've carried that character trait over into the spiritual realm. See, if somebody's undisciplined in the natural, they're going to be undisciplined spiritually. But they can train themselves if they love the Lord enough. But, you know, that's where the parable of the sower comes in, and some people have no root or no depth of character, no depth of soil, and they're excited about God, but when pressure comes to grow, they back away because, oh, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to be that committed. I like my life the way it is. But those whose hearts are completely towards him. He is looking for those so that he can strengthen them. Wow, that's good news. That's good news. So whatever situation I go through, by the word of the Lord, by his character, because he's not a liar, he is there to get me through and to strengthen me. And so it's not always fun, but I have joy knowing that I'm going to come out of this better. It'll all work out. One thing Kathy and I have had over the years, God is still on the throne. Jesus is still Lord. This too shall pass. And we go through it, loving people or whatever you have to do, or praying, and we just literally do what needs to be done spiritually to train our hearts to do the right thing. That's what God wants. And in the fear of the Lord, you combine all of that together, and it's a powerful, powerful concept. And it allows the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. It seemed at first I had to persevere a long time to change. And it was hard on the flesh. But it's supposed to be hard on the flesh because the flesh is supposed to die. We're supposed to crucify the flesh. And so it's hard on your emotions. But that's all right, because if I can change my emotions to be like the fruit of the Spirit, then life becomes much more beautiful. The blessings of God come. My eternal destiny is insured. I'll have a rich welcome when I get to heaven. I'll bear more fruit. I'll have the blessings of God in my life. All of it adds up together, but it comes back to the fruit of the Spirit and developing that fruit within our lives. To develop it, the Bible says, we have to make every effort. See, we have to work with God. We have to cooperate. He's given us everything. He's done everything. But now we got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, because he is trying to sanctify us. But we got to cooperate with him. Many young people don't understand that. They just want hype and excitement, and they get all carried away with the power of God, and they think they've arrived. But us older people, we've come to maturity through all these trials. And so we're supposed to minister to the younger people and encourage them and strengthen them to keep on going. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your plan. Thank you for salvation, Father. Thank you for what you've given us. Lord, ancient words ever true, that this has always worked the same for all these generations since Adam. And Lord, we can see your love and your grace to your people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So Holy Spirit, constantly bring these things back to our heart, back to our remembrance. In the fear of the Lord, we always want to give you access, Holy Spirit, to our hearts and every part of our heart, and all of our emotions, so that you can do your ministry, which is perfecting us unto holiness, without any resistance from us. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Although all the times we have grieved you, you'll never leave us or forsake us. You're always with us. And we thank you for your ministry in our lives. Give us the wisdom to work with you, to understand ourselves, to understand the kingdom. And we thank you that you've never forced us, but you always show us the way, truth in every circumstance and situation. Thank you, Father, for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for making this all possible. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I'm happy again. I preached myself happy. Yahoo! Party time.
Hallelujah.
I guess I'll put this back in the fridge. I haven't opened it.
Where is she?
You okay? My goodness.